great worship set. I'm so glad that you folks could be worshiping with us at home or sitting out on your deck or your patio and enjoying this time together. You know, it's when you just half close your eyes, you can just sort of imagine what that first Palm Sunday must have been like, with Jesus coming in, riding a donkey, coming into Jerusalem. On one hand, the crowd is erupting with an amazing joy, expressing this amazing joy. And it's two crowds that are meeting. It's like two streams, two rivers of people that are meeting. Folks that have come from Bethany with Jesus, that had seen him resurrect Lazarus from the dead the day before. And then this other group that is coming out to meet him because they're hearing that Jesus, having done all of this miraculous stuff and raising Lazarus from the dead, they meet, they converge, and it creates this crescendo of incredible worship and praise. I can't imagine what that must have been like. And just the incredible emotional experience Jesus must have experienced, because on one hand, he is being received with great adulation, and at the other side of that, he knew that he was starting this week of passion, that he was going to suffer and he was going to die and experience all of those, that tragedy of the cross, but the victory of the cross. And then, of course, a week later, it would be Resurrection Sunday. So this does start Holy Week. It does start Passion Week for us. And as we look at the dynamics of this, it's so important for us to try to get in touch with the realities and the truths of what took place that week 2,000 years ago. I'm reminded what Paul says over in Philippians, the third chapter, that his goal, my goal, is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed into his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead. So Paul's saying, I want to join Jesus in the power of the resurrection. I look forward to that, I long for that, but I also want to be connected in the fellowship of his sufferings. And this is what we are allowed to experience this week as we truly pursue a fresh new experience with Jesus, especially this Palm Sunday, preparing us for the experience of Holy Week. Now, the last seven words of Jesus that we talked about last week, or the last seven signs of Jesus, kicked off a firestorm of enthusiasm and also criticism. The last of the seven signs was the resurrection, the raising of Lazarus. And it caused quite a stir. And so Jesus was entering in as a hero. He was entering in as someone that they were looking for to be a liberator, a deliverer. They had no idea that the Messiah would come to be crucified, to go through the suffering of the Passion and then to be crucified. But on this Sunday, on Palm Sunday, we need to see that even in our day, Jesus brings much needed victory to the world and to our lives personally. I don't know about you, but we really need a lot of victory today, because there's a lot of doom and gloom that we are confronted with in every circumstance and situation that we're confronted with. I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I felt so sorry for this little man. He was in front of me. He had his mask on, and he had gloves on. He was doing all the precautions that everybody said that somebody needs to do if they're going out in public. And he had his mask, and his nose was coming over the top of the mask. And it was like I wanted to just, go up to him and say, hey, you're probably not wearing that thing right. But he was trying to do the very, very best he could, because he is concerned. He is trying to be diligent. And at the same time, there's this drivenness that is created by anxiety and fear. You know, when we meet Jesus in John's Gospel, right here with Palm Sunday, it starts in chapter 12, verse 12, and it says, the next day, that's the day after the resurrection of Lazarus, when the large crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took palm branches and went out to him. You find this interesting story of Palm Sunday in all of the Gospels, in Mark 11, Matthew 21, Luke 19. And Jesus has had this incredible week. He is, the last few days, the resurrection of Lazarus. His feet are anointed with burial perfumes and ointments by Mary. And then he is now going into Jerusalem and is met with this unbelievable praise and worship. And the people have come from Jericho and from Bethany and from other places. They've come into Jerusalem for Passover week, and they're carrying palm branches. It says they had palm branches and were waving them in the air. Now, back about 200 years before Jesus, during the Maccabean Revolution, when the Maccabees were able to set Jerusalem free from their captors and to be able to reestablish Jewish rule over Jerusalem, they were met with palm branches. It was a symbol of victory. And in fact, even the Romans coins that were minted for Israel to use during the Roman occupation had palm branches on them. They were incredibly significant and still are significant to Israel today as symbols of victory. Now, when we look at our dark and scary world that we live in, we look in this at the uncertainty and the anxiety of our circumstances today. When we run out to the store and we see people that are still compulsive buying because of their anxiety and their fear, when we talk to people and their anxieties are off the chart, we see that this whole idea of personal distancing brings us to a place where we're anxious and we need breakthrough and victory. So Jesus, the symbolism of Jesus coming into Jerusalem offers us a victory. It offers us that hope. It's not just something that happened 200 years before Jesus as a symbol of victory. It is a victory for us. When we look over in Psalms, the 92nd Psalm, it says, "The righteous thrive like a palm tree and grow like a cedar tree in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they thrive in the courts of God. They will still bear fruit in old age, healthy and green, to declare the Lord is just, He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him." So they're making this declaration that Jesus is righteous, that He's offering life, He's offering victory. They have an expectation that He's going to deliver them from Roman rule, but we have this expectation that He's going to deliver us from the gloominess and the darkness and the despair and the anxiety that we face today. That He brings us and makes us, through His death and through His resurrection, He brings us to a place of victory. He brings us to a place of righteousness. We have oppression. It's not the Roman government. It's COVID-19. And we are cocooned in our homes. But there's victory for us, even in this time of isolation. You know, I think it is ironic when we look at how in the spiritual world and in the spiritual realm, Satan is probably thinking, wow, I've shut the church down. There's not going to be a Resurrection Sunday. There's not a Palm Sunday where people all over the world are getting together. And he's probably gloating over that reality when what's happening is churches like our church and other churches that are online right now, there are more people watching than they would if we had our doors open today. And so Satan's plans might be to bring chaos and brokenness and anxiety, but Jesus' plan is even bigger. Just because we can't gather in a building doesn't mean we're not celebrating Palm Sunday and Resurrection Sunday. It means that there is a greater victory, and Jesus brings us that victory. He brings us so we can get out our own palm branches and wave them in the air and to say, Jesus wins, Jesus is victorious, we will not be held captive. I love the fact that we receive this promise from Romans 8:37. In Christ we are more than conquerors. You know, when as we go into the further passages in chapter 12, we understand this truth. Jesus enters into our world, and He enters it to save us and to bring us peace. What is the crowd screaming and hollering? They're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. What an incredible word this is. It means to save now, to save us now. It's not just this remote Jewish term that we can't apply to our lives. It's not just a remote term in Hebrew that doesn't make any sense to us. It does. We need Jesus to save us now, to save us emotionally, to save us physically, to save us spiritually. You know, part of our problem is that we have so many incredible ways to communicate, and it creates a greater sense of anxiety. But because we also have a greater way to communicate, we can also share the hope and the peace of Jesus as well.
Back during the Black Plague in the Middle Ages, in between 1346 and 1353, the plague just came. The bubonic plague came and people heard about it, but it wasn't like they heard about it every day on the news, constantly bombarded with this to stay in and to be worried. Even the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918 and 1919, it ravaged havoc from the ashes of World War I. It spread all over the globe. There were still newspapers and telegraph, but it wasn't like today. We struggle with the news that we hear, and it brings us to a place of discouragement and fear. But the good news of Palm Sunday is that Jesus saves now, that Jesus brings liberation now. You know, when we look at Romans 5:1 tells us, "Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So Jesus brings Hosanna. He brings us salvation so that we might experience peace. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." You know, that is such a vivid word picture that we see Jesus coming into Jerusalem. They're singing, they're shouting out, "Save now," waving palm branches for victory, and Jesus is riding on a donkey. When they're hollering out, "Hosanna," they're hollering out the very essence of Psalm 118, verse 25. "Lord, save us. Lord, Hosanna. Lord, please grant us success. He who comes in the name of the Lord is blessed. And from the house of the Lord, we bless you." So Jesus comes to bless us today. And Jesus is here to bless each of us. Whether we're separated and having to experience this virtually, right there where you're watching, Jesus wants to bring blessings into your family, into your house, into you as an individual. And that's the promise that we see with Palm Sunday. He's riding on a colt. In Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And I share this every Palm Sunday, that this symbolism of a donkey meant he was coming in peace, like an ambassador. He's God's ambassador coming in peace. He's like the king coming in peace. If he came on a horse, he was going to war. But by coming on a donkey, he was communicating that as a beast of burden, the donkey meant that he was coming in peace. When kings or ambassadors or diplomats entered a city, if they came on a horse, the city knew that this person was coming because there was a battle that was impending. But if they came on a donkey, they knew that they brought news of peace. And so back to Romans 5:1, we see that we have peace, that you and I can have peace with God right now in the turbulence of this morning, right now in the turbulence of this epoch in human history. God brings us peace, and that we have peace with Him. You know, I think that another issue that is really causing some stress is that we are kind of corralled in with the people in our families and not being able to experience relationships. And part of that struggle is that we don't have peace with other people, with other human beings. You know, we see that even in Washington, this partisan politics just is making it very difficult to come up with ways and steps to be able to help this nation. You know, there are no partisan politics in the kingdom of God. And that in the kingdom of God, what Jesus is ushering in, what he is bringing on Palm Sunday is peace so that we might have peace with other people, that we might have peace with our families, that we might have peace with the people that we are locked down with. We have peace with the people that we interact with at the grocery store that gets that last roll of toilet paper that you just missed by seconds. And you're frustrated. Or Democrats and Republicans and independents arguing in Washington, or the media unbelievably sending a message of anxiety. Romans 12:18 says, "If possible, as far as it all depends on you, live at peace with everyone." When Jesus brings peace, We're able to have peace with everyone. We're able to have peace with other people. Imagine if this message from Romans 12 and the whole act and the symbolism and the power of Palm Sunday erupted into the media. What an amazing day it would be in our culture. We also have inner peace. I don't know about you, but this seems to trigger a lot of those that stuff that's in my life that seems to surface during crisis moments or chaos that you know, some of those things that are strongholds that are from my childhood or in my youth or young adulthood, those strongholds that really just completely constrict any sense of peace seems to be accentuated. But because Jesus brings peace, He brings peace with other people, He brings peace with God so that we're no longer at war with God because of sin, and it brings us to a place where we have inner peace as well. I love what Paul says in Philippians 4:7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So think about that. I really want you to hear that right there, as you deal with anxious thoughts and fearful thoughts, that the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding, the peace of God that defies what you see in the realm of the physical and natural world, that Jesus offers us peace in the midst of the storm. The storm can continue and we still have peace. It also allows us to do something that is a radical concept. That not only can we have inner peace, not only do we have peace with other human beings, not only are we at peace with God, but we can also be peacemakers. I mean, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers." In James, the brother of Jesus, in James 3:17-18, it says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without pretense. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who cultivate peace." So here's the mission of the church, that we are in a time of anxiety. We are missionaries. We are agents to bring peace. When you go to the grocery store, you go to the drug store, you go buy gas, you go do whatever you need to do, you go pick up a takeout from a restaurant, when you interact with your family, whatever it is, when you're dealing with people socially on social media, online, through Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever vehicle you are communicating and connecting with, we can be peacemakers. And that from this, instead of continuing to live in a world that has violence and chaos, out of this catastrophe, God can take this entire situation and launch into the world peacemakers that will bring peace even when this COVID-19 pandemic is concluded. The last thing I want to share with you that we see on Palm Sunday, with Jesus coming in with a branch, with having branches waving around him for victory, riding in on a donkey as a symbol of peace, and with all of the crowd shouting Hosanna, is that although it's hard to comprehend the fullness of Christ's victorious entry into our lives, the whole world needs Him and seeks Him. Right now, this is a time where people are seeking truth. They are seeking hope. They're seeking something, and Jesus is the answer for what people are seeking. I love verse 16 because it shows the humanness of the disciples, and I really resonate with this. "His disciples did not understand these things at first. However, when Jesus was glorified after He was crucified and resurrected, then they remembered that these things had been written about Him, that they had done these things to Him." So, they don't understand that all of these people, why these people are hollering, "Save now." They don't grasp it. They don't grasp the palm branches. They don't grasp the symbolism of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's mind-boggling to them. They are shocked by the circumstances. You know, and sometimes when we are looking at the circumstances, I mean, I'm right now preaching to a church that has like 5 people in it. They're the technical crew. The people that I'm really speaking to are out there. I can't even see them, touch them, smile at them. That is a really disconcerting thing. And if you really think about it, it's like, I don't understand this. I don't understand how this happened. I do not understand the politics of COVID-19. I do not understand the whole dynamic of how COVID-19 works and operates. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me how this whole thing has unwrapped and unraveled like it has. But I don't need to understand it. I just need to see that this is a wave that is coming in and that it's important to catch it and to surf it, to ride it all the way in. We have no other choice. So we don't have to understand everything to be able to put our faith and trust in the one who does understand. He understands everything. I like verse 17, too. It says, "Meanwhile, the crowd which had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to testify." Verse 17 is a great creed for all of us. It's a great mission statement for all of us. They couldn't stop talking about seeing Jesus resurrect Lazarus, to call him from the dead, 4 days in the tomb. They couldn't stop talking about it. I mean, what happens for us as Christians as we experience this new day with Jesus during this COVID-19 pandemic? What happens as we are released to be able to get back into interactions in our culture? We shouldn't ever stop talking about how Jesus has shown up in all of these circumstances, how Jesus has truly offered us hope and peace in the midst of all this. I mean, people should see that in our social media posts. They should see everything that we do. They should see how we are interacting as peacemakers, that we can't stop talking about how Jesus has helped us through this, how Jesus is delivering us through this. In verse 18, it says, "This is also why the crowd met him, because they heard he had done this sign." Remember I said that there were these two rivers of people, one that had come over the Mount of Olives with Jesus, talking about and sharing, "This guy raised a dude from the dead and we saw it." And then this other crowd who had heard about it, you know, since it was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, they came out to meet him because they heard he was coming into Jerusalem. They were ready to see all this stuff. They were ready to declare a Messiah, king over Israel, that he was going to set them free and deliver them from Roman occupation. So they met. You know, and here's how I think that we need to see and understand this. When we hear in the truth of God's Word who Jesus is, when we experience Jesus in a fresh new way, we come to a place where what we hear drives us to follow Jesus more fully and completely. The tragedy of this whole story is verse 19. "Then the Pharisees, some of the most incredible people in the history of Israel, they'd memorized all the Old Testament by the time they were in their mid-teens. They were brilliant teachers of the law. They knew all of the law outside of the Torah. They believed in a lot of the same things that Jesus believed in, but they were always at tension with Jesus. And it says, "Then the Pharisees said to one another, 'You see, you've accomplished nothing. We haven't quieted Jesus. Look, the world has gone after him.'" That is awesome. Think about this. Through this COVID-19 experience, you and I have, in the way we live, in the way we talk, the way we communicate, we can share a Jesus that the whole world goes after, that the whole world pursues, that the whole world is looking for. You know, the dude in West Africa that contacted the church Facebook page yesterday that wanted to join us in worship, I hope you are watching this today, and I hope that the message of Palm Sunday, the message of Jesus, I hope that you are going after him in an incredible way. I hope all the folks, you know, Pat and Carol's mother and mother-in-law out in Colorado, I know you're watching this. I hope you go after Jesus in a way that's just unbelievable. I hope my relatives, I hope my other friends, my high school friends that probably would never see me in this kind of setting or circumstance, I hope that this message and all the messages that we are teaching and preaching during this time, that you go after Jesus, that you are hungry for Jesus, and that you experience him in a fresh new way. I hope that that becomes a reality to you, that the gospel, this free salvation of Jesus, this unconditional love of Jesus, becomes contagious in your life. We can't save ourselves. All we do is Jesus does all the work. That's what's happening next Friday. Good Friday, we celebrate that. Jesus does all the work, and then the Holy Spirit comes in 3 days later and resurrects Jesus, and it's this amazing, amazing reality. Jesus, we can't save ourselves, we can't fix our problems, we can't forgive our sins, we can't break the bondage and the circumstances that we're in by fear and anxiety and addictions, but Jesus can. He brings victory, He brings peace. But not only does Jesus can, but He will. It's trusting Jesus. Jesus heals our inner hurts and our brokenness. Jesus restores us. He forgives us. He makes us new. So I'm going to ask that you just close your eyes and bow your heads with me right there in your living rooms or your deck or your patio or wherever you are right now. I'm going to just pray for us today. I'm going to pray that you make this transition in your faith where you trust Jesus totally and fully with your life. Dear God, I thank you so much that through Jesus we have victory. Through Jesus we have peace. And there's a lot of people that are listening to this now live, and there's a lot more people that's going to listen to this later. And I pray that you will reveal your truth, your love, your grace to them so that they might know the victory that comes in the peace of Jesus. That they'll understand that Jesus loves them more than they can ever possibly imagine. That we can't work and figure these things out. It's not that we change and modify ourselves to be accepted by Jesus. He loves us, warts and all, sins and all, brokenness and all. He takes us and He loves us. And He enters our lives victoriously. He enters our lives, and because of that love and forgiveness, it brings us peace. Father, right now, as people are listening to this, I pray that you move in their lives and that they might say to you, Jesus, I need your peace. Come victoriously in my life. I trust you as my Lord and Savior. You are the King. And I raise my hands like palm branches to say, you are victorious. I surrender everything to you. I give. I trust you. I put my faith in you today. And I want to follow you. Jesus, give me peace. Give me forgiveness. Let me know your love. And Jesus, we know you're faithful to do that. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us in our live worship as our band continues to lead us in worship and praise today. If you have any questions, if you have any prayer needs, Tani has already shared with you all the different avenues that you can contact us. We're here to minister to you. A lot of information is going to go out next week about Resurrection Sunday worship, and I look forward to experiencing that with you next week. God bless you all.